It's good to be here this morning.
Amen.
We appreciate the opportunity of bringing God's Word. And how brief it may be to stay with the Plamondons again, that's always a blessing for us to see how everybody's getting older. Oh yeah, that means I'm getting older too, right? Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I look in the mirror every morning and I wonder who it is. That old man looking at me. We desire your prayers anytime that we preach the Word of God, but standing before the Lord, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst.
Amen.
And if you think about it, and after my topic that I'm using today, by the Lord's grace, it gets all the more awesome. And we're going to try to explain that in our feeble way, praying the Holy Spirit will take it and make it effectual. There's Jenny. I was wondering if she was here today. And I seen him running around all over the place, but I didn't see her. This morning, look with me in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. Good seeing a lot of folks we haven't seen for a while. And come to find out, Brother Bowens has come from Florida to Michigan. I don't know his wisdom in that, come wintertime. You know, I've always talked about snowbirds, you know. I thought, well, they're fair weather friends. And then the older you get, the better, you know, it's not so bad, you know, when you think about warmer and... But the Lord blesses us, and He's given us a nice warm home. And I fear maybe I'll do a little less rabbit hunting and a little more hugging the fireplace or something, but that's all good, too. All good, too. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. Abraham's taking his son Isaac up to have an offering. Unbeknownst unto his son, the offering is the son. But I want us to notice in verse 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together." How would you like to be Isaac? And then come to see what's going to take place. I want us to consider God will provide Himself. Now I want to look in the ramifications of who went to the cross. And when you really see it for the first time, you go, wow, what a Savior. God Himself
Amen.
Went to the cross for me.
Amen.
And Jesus is all through the Old Testament. You can see Him in so many different forms and types and so on. But just read it for what it says. While we're here in Genesis, look with me in chapter 1, the book of Genesis, chapter 1. A curious scripture for me for when I was first saved. In Genesis 1 and verse 26. "And God said, Let us make man in our," plural, "our image." Now, using this for an example here, but we take note of this. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was there when creation was all going on. And when you really think about what's going on there, God is a personal touch type God where He touches everything He does. And He's not a spectator. He's involved in everything He does. The most miraculous thing, though, is when you think about God Himself on that cross.
Right.
We're going to look at that and study a little bit this morning. And I have about a tenth of the scriptures that Brother Bourne used this morning. And most people know me. That's about normal for me. Notice with me in the New Testament now, in the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. Notice the scriptures. In the beginning was the Word. Remember, right at the beginning, and God said, and it was so. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I can't make it any plainer than that right there. All right. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I want to skip down just a little bit here. If you notice in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. So that's where I'm getting the idea about how Jesus, God Himself, the Word of God, God Himself. Notice, the Word made flesh and dwelt among them. You ever really think about what He's telling us here? You young people, good to see all these young people here. You young people, when you read the scriptures, see who it's all about. You can't go anywhere in the scriptures without seeing Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit. Now, notice, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was the Son, yes. He was the Father, yes. He was the Holy Spirit, yes. All three are one, the Trinity. And when we think about, they beheld God. They beheld the only begotten of the Father. Okay, it's beyond me. But I do know one thing. It gets so rich when you start looking at this. So rich indeed. Now, if you look with me in Matthew chapter 1, the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, so you're not thinking, well, this is just your doctrine. No, it's not. I'm just going to read the scriptures. In verse 21, the scripture says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now notice, which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen.
So Emmanuel, God with us, brought forth from a virgin. Again, that's beyond me. That's one of those wild experiences in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. You just read it, you sit back, and you go, wow, what a God, what a Savior. This gets richer and richer. And you young people, when you get this, and you finally get it, you're going to say, well, I don't know what you say nowadays, but it'd be awesome. Back in my day, it'd be cool, you know. I don't know what they say now. Michael, you're going to have to let me know about that. I just don't know what young people say today. I probably wouldn't understand it anyway, so don't get too excited over it. Now we're going to get to the meat. This just gives you an idea that Jesus is God. Now let's see what God did for us. Again, the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Most of you know this scripture. But when I finally seen it, and some of us take a little longer than others, when I finally seen it, I want us to look in Isaiah chapter 53 and see Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, on the cross. And when you see it, you're going to look at God in a precious way. In such a magnified way. And it's an experience to behold indeed. Notice in Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, I know all of you have seen pictures of what they say is Jesus and so on. That's not Jesus. That's just one of Satan's lies. But I want to point out that Jesus wasn't one to be desired to look upon. In other words, he wasn't known for how handsome he was or how great his physique was or anything like that. He was like a tender plant in dry ground. I don't know if you understand what that means, but if you've done any farming, it's not going to last long. And certainly we knew what happened to Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men. Who is the he here? Who's rejected and despised? Not just Jesus as the Son of God, but also God Himself is rejected. And we can't take this lightly. Let's read on. A man of sorrows. I look at that as God went through sorrows for me. And he went through sorrows in the flesh for himself. Notice. Acquainted with grief. Don't ever think that God isn't touched by your feelings. The book of Hebrews talks all about that, how he's moved by our feelings. Notice, he's acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. All right, now, think about this. God himself, back in Genesis 1 again, created all things, and when he got done, even with man, he looked at all of his creation, and he said, this is good. It was made perfect. He doesn't make mistakes, and again, I guess the young people, they like to think about it. When you look in the mirror, you better say, God created something wonderful, because that's what he did. Yes, I seen you laughing. Even in your mother's womb, he knit you together. So don't take it lightly. You girls might say, well, my nose is not perfect, or my ears are not perfect, or my whatever. You're made perfect in the way God wants you. Yeah. All right, so we're seeing God in Genesis 1, how he created all things. And I don't know about you, but I love to watch all the birds and the animals and all the creation and so on. And they're just spectacular, wonderful things. And he did that for me. Now, he shares it with you too, but all these things that God has done, they're so wonderful. And yet, do we thank him for those things? Do we just walk outside and say, oh, what a blessing! Just to see what you've done for me today. Sometimes we don't do that. Most of the time, we don't do that. But I want you to think about, surely he has bore our griefs. And as we read this, I have to say this so you'll be thinking about it. You've heard that song when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. It was more than that. All my sins were upon him.
Right.
All my griefs that I caused were on him. All my sins of omission, commission, everything I ever thought and done was laid upon him. You ever get burdened down by the weight of your sin? Let's multiply that by billions. Mm-hmm. And then lay it upon the shoulders of God Himself, because He's the only one that could have ever bore that.
Right.
Me and you would have died. It would have been unbearable. We could never have imagined the grief that was placed upon God Himself. Your sin, my sin, the sin of everyone that ever committed a sin and one day will trust Jesus, it was all placed upon Him. Oh, let's go a little further. He was smitten of God and afflicted, but He was wounded for our transgression. Can you imagine the most perfect that there ever could be was smitten because of my imperfections? And He that knew no sin became sin for me? I can't quite grasp that sometimes. Why would God Himself die for me? And I want us to think about that for a moment. Why did He die for you? There's an answer. A lot of times we say, why me, Lord? You know. Because He loved us. Even before we were lovable, He loved us. I like that scripture in Ephesians, Brother Randy, where it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherein He loved me. Was it something I did? No. Was it something I will do? No. It's something He chose to do. For He chose me. He chose you. God Himself chose me. Do you ever think about your church membership? God placed in the church as it pleased Him. God Himself, the Creator of all things, decided to choose you. And a lot of times we don't come to church. I don't understand that. We don't want to give our tithes. I don't understand that. We don't even want to give our love away to God. Something's wrong with us. We need a heart transplant. We need to literally be born again if we cannot see the love that God has for me and you. And when you look at Him on the cross, now remember, it's just not Jesus the Son, but it's the Godhead on that cross for us. And Jesus, oh, no greater. The Father, no greater. Oh, the Holy Spirit. You put them all together and you see the perfection of God. All right, let's go a little further. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. All right, let's think about this now. The wrath of God was placed upon God. Again, kind of goes right over me there. But think about how much wrath God could really put upon sinners. Now think about that for a moment. All that God could muster up. We can't even go that way, can we? We can't even think in that realm because it's so far from us. And all the wrath that God would put upon all sinners because of their sin was placed upon God Himself. Wow, what a Savior.
Amen.
Don't get any better than that, does it? Or does it? The chastisement of our peace. In other words, He paid the price, but we get the peace. He paid the price, and we get the joy. He took all the ridicule, and we become the sons of God. What a God. What a Savior. Now, so far, if you're not getting any of this, you better check your pulse. You better see if you're really here, because when you realize God Himself did all these things for you, let's go on. But these are Baptists, must be. All we like sheep have gone astray. We can think about our Father in such rich ways, and the Son and the Holy Spirit in such sweet and rich ways, and all of a sudden there goes our mind thinking on something else. But I guarantee you, when God was on the cross, it was a one-way mind. In other words, He was thinking all the time what He was doing. You realize before Jesus went to the cross, when He prayed, "Father, remove this cup from me," it wasn't going to the cross that was the problem. It was all the sin that was going to be laid upon Him that's sinless. Why did it become dark that day? Well, maybe Brother Bill or somebody ought to be up here explaining all that, but to me, God couldn't look at His Son. That's my opinion anyway, because He didn't want to look upon sin. And I believe that's the time that sin was laid upon. You say, "Well, why do you say that?" Well, remember, men love darkness more than light. Jesus became darkness that we could live. In other words, He became your sin, my sin, everybody's sin that ever believed on Him. And it was all placed on Him, and He became ugly. Do you realize that we before the Father are nothing but ugly, rancid sinners? You say, "How do you know that?" Do you remember in Genesis 6 when the Lord looked down upon the earth and man's imaginations were only evil continually? And it repented God. Now remember, God's the one with the long nose and with the fire coming out of His nostrils and so on. He was at the point right then saying, "Maybe I shouldn't have done this." Now, there was a reason for that. But our reasoning should be from that is this. Sin is not pretty in the sight of God. Amen. And He became ugly for us. You know, He's known for the beauty of His holiness. At that moment in time, how do you explain that, Brother Randy? Maybe you can do a lot better job, but how do you explain how holiness and sinfulness came together and met at a cross one day? How do you explain that? You know, mercy and grace kissed each other. And with His divine influence, He came down to me with His mercy and He saved me. He done that on the cross, but I didn't know anything about it until the day that I put my faith and trust in Jesus. That's way beyond me. Way, way beyond me. Let me go down a little further here. Well, maybe I better not. Let's start in verse 7 again. "He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth." Every time I get to one of these phrases, I have to stop and think. This is God who could have smitten the whole world and destroyed everything in a jest. And He opened not His mouth. In other words, "All right, world, give me your best. All right, do what you must. For I love this people in such a way, I'm willing to put up with it." Humility, the humbleness that I have to go through, even when God Himself, naked on the cross, you realize hanging from a tree was one that was cursed. And God did that for me? Wow. "He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken." Brother Bourne, you're going to have to explain this next thought for me. I believe when Jesus died, he died. All right? So God himself died. I don't know, but I get a wow out of that. Mm-hmm. How did he do that? And how could... Well, he was God. That's the only answer I can come up with. God himself can bring himself from the dead. But I believe in those 3 days and three nights, he was dead. That's where you got to take on over, brother. Because I'm thinking in my crazy mind, all right, who is God in the meantime? He was. That's like the Trinity. I can't explain that either, but I believe it and I understand some little bit about it. God himself. Let's go on. And again, Brother Bourne, you can explain this too. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God bruised himself. I think he permitted it. And then when the sin was laid upon him, that was beyond any measure that man can even understand. And hath put him to grief. God himself being put to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, we look at the soul as our spirit, as our issue of life, that which you are, your soul. All right, God put all his life, his soul, as an offering for sin. Not only just the light of the world, but the life of the world. Remember our reading? He was the life of the world as well. Let's go on. And shall be satisfied. See, only God himself can satisfy with a sacrifice needed to please God. We appeased him for a while through the offerings in the Old Testament, but just showing something that was coming. We can look back and see it. They were looking forward. Now notice. And shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. I look at it this way. I can be totally wrong and I admit it. By his knowledge of me, he justified me. His understanding of me. Talk about somebody who knows where I live. He knows me. Now you can go on with that knowledge a long ways, in a lot of ways. But when I read that, that's what I think about. How when he was on that cross, he was dying and he was giving up his soul as a sacrifice. I was still there on his mind, on his heart. And you know what? I'll always be there. It's an eternal love that he has for me. And a lot of folks say, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to heaven. I'm going to be bored. No, you're not. You're going to say, wow, what a Savior every day. Oh, those prints every day. Well, he appeared as a lamb one time, and then he appeared as the wow Savior after a while there, didn't he, in Revelation? I got to end here. And the knowledge of my righteous servant shall justify many. Why? For he shall bear their iniquities. Amen. Now, to understand that, he bears all our thoughts. All our actions. You say, well, you're not all that bad. You know, you haven't done this. Ever thought about it? You're already guilty of it. But it's more than that. It was placed upon Him. What killed Him? Wasn't the cross. Wasn't the spear. He was already dead. It was our sin. The wages of sin is death. But praise God, I know the other part of it, but the gift of God is eternal life. I want to ask you a question right now. If you would die right now, where would you spend eternity? You're going to spend it in one or two places. Either in hell, a place that God prepared. Oh, wow. How would you like to spend eternity in hell? Always burning up, never burning up. Always in pain. Always suffering throughout all eternity. Wow. That's more of an awesome. But then there's God. His mercy on me. He died for me that I can live. And that I can... You know, the Bible talks about how we can live. What is it, brother? And more abundantly. Do you know what that means, everybody? That means you can get something out of life now, but then there's the eternal life later. But the more abundantly, I think, is our spiritual life now, too. There's blessings. Brother Dan and I were talking about how the Lord blesses, how He provides for us in unseen, miraculous ways. You don't get there when you're lost. You know, I don't know if you do it or not, but you know what winners of the lottery get? Broke. Spiritually bankrupt. So which would you rather have? Having spiritual life and knowing your Lord in a personal relationship, or being broke from that? Torn away from that. Because where your heart is, that's where you're at. Think about it. All right, let me go back to my question. If you would die right now, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Well, that's just a benefit. That's not the whole purpose of everything when it comes to salvation. We say and we talk about that. The purpose of it is having righteousness. You can't stand in front of God in a sinful, depraved state. You have to be born again. You have to be a child of God to stand before Him. And right now, you can be saved right now if you want to be. Yeah, I know who works on the water. That's God Himself. And you can be saved right now if you know yourself a sinner. And if you can repent of your sin and put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, trust Him. Oh, for 3 days He paid that price. He realized it didn't stop there. It didn't get into that. Remember when Jesus arose from the grave and what was it, Mary? Walked up to Him and wanted to touch Him, you know. Typical, like my wife, you know. She can't help it. It's just something she has to do. You can't touch me because I haven't offered myself up to the Father yet. This is feeble, I know, but He was going to offer His blood before the mercy seat of God, and on the mercy seat of God, and on the floor. You know what He was offering? In the blood is the life. And He was offering up His life. This is my life for their life. So when He looks down through that mercy seat, He looks through the blood and all He sees is a perfect child of God. That's me through the blood of Christ. How about you? Do you know you're saved this morning? You can be right now if you want to be. I can't save you, but God can. And if you can just turn from your sin and put your faith in what Jesus has done for you. We hope you can do that today. Got plenty of time today where you can trust Him. How about you today? God bless you.